Hello, Lagos, Nigeria. Good afternoon to you. 22 minutes past 12 this very beautiful Friday afternoon. How are you doing? Hope you're grateful for life. It's the 26th day in the month of March, 2021. My name is Joyce Unyemua, and the sun rises here. Welcome to the sunny side on Nigeria Info. So, we know today we're recapping the week. Yeah. So, look, let me tell you why I like Fridays as well. Well, first, I have a thing for Thursdays. But, yeah, Fridays allow us to revisit some of the conversations we've had. And that is me thanking that we have allowed both the time that has lapsed, or say, yeah, the time's gone, the few days passed, to think about some of the things that we have heard and maybe revisit it and make another submission, better submission, change a position, something like that. And maybe that is the brilliance of memory, that maybe memory affords you some kind of archive bank where you put things in and you can go back and compare, you can evaluate, reconstruct, construct, you can draw resource from energy information, stuff like that. And first of all, we don't have forever to live, and maybe we're supposed to make today the best, and the only way today can be the best is that we draw on yesterday to infuse possibilities, energy, strength, information into today and make today better, because that's the only chance that tomorrow will be better. If we don't improve on today, then there is no guarantee.
More talk, news and sports after this.
Technology, as I was saying. You know, there's no possibility that tomorrow will be better if our today isn't good. So we go from good to better. And then it's an endeavor, it's strength, it's commitment. It's something that must happen for what needs to happen to be brought about. All right? Okay. So today on the show, we're going to recap the week topics we thought were very interesting, very engaging. Topics that moved us to tears? Yeah, we'll revisit that. Oh, what a week is what we call this one. And remember, hold on a second. Hold on. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello and welcome. If you have just tuned in, it's a beautiful Friday and we are recapping the week. We love it here on the sunny side.
Oh, what a week. This is the sunny side with Joy.
So, of course, guaranteed we're revisiting our most interesting topics during the course of the week. Welcome to the show. My name is Joyce. And worthy of note would be that today, Friday, is the last day that we'll be having Oh, What a Week. Yeah. But you have nothing to lose. There is nothing that you would be losing, because now that we have a podcast on the for the sunny side, you visit our website to catch up on the shows that you might have missed out on. Yeah. And if you have a comment, if you have an opinion, suggestion for or against motions that we have presented on the show, then please leave me your comment on Twitter, Joyce Unyemua on Twitter. And on Instagram, Joyce Unyemua on Instagram. All right. So let's kick off. But don't forget, from next week, the sunny side would be Mondays through Thursdays. Tell your friends for me. Radio is still the same, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All right. So, what's up? This morning, I think, from yesterday to today, I had a moment to reflect on something that I thought that you knew, but I think that you're resisting letting go because maybe it serves you in some way. But I think I'm making an argument for the fact that anything that is not solid, you should not hold on to. I would suggest that you hold on to I would suggest that you sieve the error away from notion, from concepts, from philosophy, from social mentality and biases or say convictions, persuasions I already said notions. Yeah, I think I want you to not be afraid to probe a thing deeper than the surface. Yeah. When you do that, you would find out that you're better for it. You then have, you need not rely on something that appears to be, when you can rely on the option, which is a better option, and that would be what really is. So, you know, in my mind, I thought about the fact that there is a social construct of wanting to be a king. And I don't know whether you are aware that there is something better than that. Something far better than that. That if you are willing to open up, say, the book, you would realize that the cover is not the book. Because it's under the cover that you can discover that the king, for example, is a crook. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like something out of Mary Poppins. Yeah, the king is a crook. But then you only see the surface and you judge what's on the surface. And you suppose that, well, yeah, so this surface is really what's inside the book. And let's bring it into more actual scenarios in our lives. I mean, how many times have you had friends who betrayed you? Or so you had a wife who you thought was a certain way, but she turned out to be something else. Or you had a husband that you held in this regard, and then you realize that he is not good. And maybe that's really your worst disappointments, really. Particularly after you have done all, after you have done everything. Then you realize, so this is what I think. And then you go into the future with what you think. I mean, what else again do you have to hold on to than to draw from yesterday? Yeah? So yesterday is a function of everything from your yesteryears, childhood, family, dad, mom, stepmom, stepdad, society, church, mosque, school, foreign, local, whatever. Yeah? You draw relationships, community, you draw on all of that. And like, so here I am today. And this is really what I think about that. So going into the future, here I go with what I have become. And then you go into that tomorrow with the best of intentions. And reality shucks you. Reality shucks you. So rather than aim for title or office, which is fleeting, by the way, and I think we have to understand that, you're holding on to some things that are fleeting and are variables when you can actually hold on to a constant. Look, I can give you a title, but because I gave it to you, I can take it back. That's the truth. So what I cannot take from you is what you truly are. What you are. And sometimes the fear is the discovery of something. It's that you fear. Oh, let me share with you. I used to have a certain type of fear. And God, no, 2000 and something. Was that 2001 or 2002? Something like that. I was working then at the FRCN and a colleague came to me with a book. He knows I like to read books. And then he said to me, this is a book by Dan Brown. It is, was it Angels and Demons? I can't remember. I think it was Dan Brown's Angels and Demons, or the other one, the other popular one, Da Vinci Code. Yeah, it was the Da Vinci Code. And he said, oh, you have to read it. I'm like, oh, really? Have you read it? He was like, yeah. And I think I'd like for you to read it so we can talk about it, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, so what's the book about? And then he gave me one particular part of the story that he thought was fascinating. And he wanted to have my opinion on what I thought about that. And it was the part where Dan Brown suggested that Jesus had a girlfriend in Mary Magdalene, and that something, something, something is a... And I realized that I chose not to read the book. Why? I didn't want to tamper with the notion of what I thought I knew. So I couldn't bring myself to accepting otherwise. And that was why I chose not to read the book. So when he told me about that, and then we spoke a little bit more about it. And he appeared to be he didn't appear convinced, but he was appearing to me fascinated. Like he thought it was something to consider. And I wasn't ready to consider it. So I didn't read the book for years. I didn't read the book. I just wasn't ready. I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself there to change what I thought I knew or what I already knew. I couldn't. And then he was like, you don't want to read it? I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for it. Oh, okay. And then we just did about other things. And life happened and time passed. And then I had another opportunity in life. And this time around, it was an atheist who gave me a book. The book titled, I can't remember the author of the book, but it's titled The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. The Holy Blood or the Holy Cross, something. You can Google that. The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. Can't remember the author now. It spoke about religious history and some of the worst forms of crimes done by those who have done it in the name of God. So this was how the atheist came to me, a very polite guy. He said to me, look, yeah, you know, you're smart. You're really smart. But I don't know whether you can talk about serious stuff. In my head, I'm thinking, serious stuff? I'm smart? What's that? He's like, yeah, you know, you're very smart. But I want to know whether you can talk about other types of serious stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what you mean. He's like, okay, I'm going to get you a book. You're going to read the book. Then we'll have a conversation. This is almost about the same scenario that played out the first time. And I said, okay. And then on a certain night, evening, we were supposed to go hang out. So he came with another friend who had read the book. And they came to my house. And we're chatting. And then the friend was saying to me, oh, you need to read this book, blah, 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 blah. And the friend just gave me the whole, I am convinced, you know, I'm persuaded after I read it. And I looked at the friend, I'm like, you read one book and your mind's changed? He said, yeah. Now, by the way, the friend's father lives on my street, but I just never really knew the friend. I don't know, you know, I don't know the guy. So I took the book home and I read the book. Then I started seeing the error in history. The era, the interpretation to history. And maybe that's also why I ask you to discover things for yourself. Because you see, maybe based on where I'm coming from and maybe what my education is, I am more likely to interpret things a certain way, different from, say, the influences on your life and how you might interpret a thing. So, I mean, that's what I tell you and how I interpret it, but I am persuading you that it's your life and you owe that to yourself to know it for what it is. Since that day, there's nothing I can't read. Like, I've since that, I read that book, The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. After that book, nothing I haven't read. I've read occult books, witchcraft books, devil Bible. Now I'm reading stuff. So, you know what? I'm not afraid now to open it and see what they wrote in there, because now I understand, based on everything that I can draw from, how to draw a line and trace the truth even to hell. I can trace the truth from here to hell. So now I'm reading I'm not even afraid now to read anything. I remember, so when I downloaded the Devil's Bible, the first page is that you should not keep this book. By the way, I'm going to suggest that you don't read it. Two, I suggest that it's okay if you fear to read it. Three, but that you must comprehend the structure of the truth so that you don't get swayed by something contrary to the truth or looks like the truth. So they tell you don't keep this book. It's almost very frightening. So if you want a very solid representation from what I read, just take the Bible, turn it upside down. That's what Aleister Crowley wrote. And that's his name, by the way, Aleister Crowley. He was the one who wrote the Devil's Bible. And then you read it and you understand, like, some of our social phenomena, some of our social constructs are right out of hell. Some of our social philosophies are honestly out of the pages of the Devil's Bible. Straight put, there's no other way to put it. And so no man can think for me. No man will speak for me, because now I think for myself and speak for myself. But maybe the beginning of that journey is that you have to be willing to open the book. You cannot judge a thing by the cover. Well, unfortunately, that's no way to judge anything, to judge something by the cover. You cannot judge anything by appearance. You can't say, well, because that lady's eloquent or because that man is eloquent, they have to be saying the truth. You've not seen lies on a runway, glitz, glamour, pomp and pageantry, with crown and with artificial glory, a lie, head to toe, from dawning to dusk, lies. All right. So I wanted to play your song. It's out of a Disney movie for kids, Walt Disney movie, Mary Poppins. I remember watching Mary Poppins and I thought, how could they hide a song like this in a kid's picture? And I thought, well, there's certainly, it's not about where it's hidden or to whom it's written for. It's whether we can trace anything in that, if there's any element of truth. And so we'll try to not just entertain ourselves by the song, but maybe hear what the song is trying to say. Here is Mary Poppins Returns. A cover is not a book. You have a responsibility to pick up the book, look at the cover, not judge the book, Open the book. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. On Oh, What a Week.
Great honor to introduce the scene.
So that maybe it's better to be good, because I can't take that away from you. But if I put a crown on you, I can take it. But then, yeah, it's true that some of your kings, well, they're only kings because you have called them that. And yes, you have the power to take away that which you have given to them. But what a man truly is, you can't take away. My father would say to me, you can argue man's faith, but you can't argue his conviction. So maybe conviction is something you can't quite take away. So rather than what appears to be honor, how about actual honor? What appears to be strength, how about actual strength? What about what appears to be height, an appearance of it? What about actual glory? A cover is not a book. Mary Poppins on the sunny side. My name is Joyce.
Berg was a bookworm, and he lived on Charing Cross. The memory of his volumes brings a smile. He would read me lots of stories when he wasn't on the source. Now I'd like to share the wisdom of my favorite bibliophile. He said, because under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Chapter titles are like signs, and if you read between the lines, you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Mary Poppins, could you give us an example?
Certainly. Nellie Rubina was made of wood, but what could not be seen was though her trunk up top was barren, well her roots were lush and green. So in spring when Mr. Hickory saw her blossoms blooming there, he took root despite her bark, and now there's seedlings everywhere.
Which proves a cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look, cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook.
The titles are like signs,
and if you read between the lines,
you'll find your first impression was mistook. A cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Shall we do the one about the wealthy widow?
Oh, by all means.
Always loved that one.
Well, go on then.
Lady Hyacinth McCaw brought all her treasures to a reef,
where she only wore a smile,
plus two feathers and a leaf.
So no one tried to rob her, cause she barely wore a stitch.
But when you're in your birthday suit, there ain't much there to show you're rich.
Oh, the cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look, cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Ta-ru-ra-lee, ta-ru-ra-la, ta-ru-ra-lee, ta-ra-ta-ta.
You'll find your first impression was mistook.
Ya-da-da-da.
For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book. Give us the one about the dirty rascal, why don't you?
Isn't that one a bit long?
Well, the quicker you're into it, the quicker you're out of it.
Once upon a time in a nursery rhyme, there was a castle with a king hiding in a wing, cause he never went to school to learn a single thing. He had scepters and swords and a parliament of lords, but on the inside he was sad, egad, because he never had a wisdom for numbers, a wisdom for words, though his crown was quite immense, his brain was smaller than a bird's. So the queen of the nation made a royal proclamation to the missus and the messers, the moral lessons, bring me all the land's professors. Then she went to the hairdressers, and they came from the east, and they came from the south, from each college they poured knowledge from their brains into his mouth. But the king couldn't learn, so each professor met their fate, for the queen had their heads removed and placed upon the gate. And on that date, I state their wives all got a note, their mate was now the late great. But then suddenly one day a stranger started in to sing. He said, I'm the dirty rascal and I'm here to teach the king. And the queen clutched the jewels, for she hated royal fools. But this fool had some rules they really ought to teach in schools. Like, you'll be a happy king if you enjoy the things you've got. You should never try to be the kind of person that you're not. So they sang and they laughed, for the king had found a friend. And they ran onto a rainbow for the story's perfect end. So the moral is, you mustn't let the outside be the guide, for it's not so cut and dried. Well, unless it's Dr. Jekyll, then you better hide. Petrified! No, the truth can't be denied, as I now have testified. All that really counts and matters is the special stuff inside.
Listen to what we've said.
And open a book tonight in bed.
So one more time before we get the hooks.
Sing it out strong.
Our cover is on.
Please take our advice.
Our cover is on.
But you'll pay the price.
Our cover is on.
When the cover is on. The
A cover is nice, but the cover is not the book. Oh, well, yeah, Mary Poppins, a cover is not a book. Someone is actually asking for the title of the song by Walt Disney. So that's first of all, Mary Poppins. It's a cartoon for kids, and it's titled A Cover is Not the Book. And it's the lyrics, really, though lengthy. I do ask that you Google it, and then maybe sometime during the course of the day, I'll play that again to remind you of the responsibility to yourself to be on the cover, know the book. Yeah, you have to. When you read between the lines, you discover that the king is a crook. And, well, this, did you hear them tell you that there would be a price to pay? Like, you could suffer for that just by not knowing. And then you commit to falsehood. And then you realize at 55 that you've been a fool for the last 55 years. Well, there's not too much life left. So maybe sensibility is that you assure today and you make today right. So that you're not making at 40 the errors of 15 of the years or the days you were 15. You're not making errors at 45, something that you should have gotten rid of when you were 20. Yeah. So the illusion is the problem, and it's nice, and maybe you are attracted by the niceties or the appearance of it. Well, the cover is not the book. Open it up, take a look. Because under the covers, one discovers that the king may be a crook. Let me even tell you a story and share with you why it's necessary that you build on a solid foundation. Your philosophy, your faith, your sensibility, your character, build on a solid foundation. So recently I was talking to a family friend. And look, I'm Igbo, okay? And I must admit, I think it's changed these days. But growing up, I thought that I loved the element of certainty in the character of the average Igbo person. There's this thing about willing to lose at the risk of what they believe. Yeah. And I compare the Igbos to the Italians in some degree. Actually, I think that they're cut from the same gene. There's some similarity when it comes to their passion, their persuasion, and what they believe in when they choose to stand. So, I remember... recently, a family friend was telling me that, you know, one of his friend who's a billionaire was going to be given a title in the village recently. A title, yeah. Maybe maybe Ago One of something something. You know how, yeah, give him. And his friend said that, he told me that his friend told him that. So actually, they were all supposed to go. But the friend said that he cannot bow down before a man. Remember, he's the billionaire who is to be given a title, yeah? And his friend said, look, I cannot bow down before another man. If they want to give me a title, they should bring it to my house. So you know what your traditions say about, you know, the man you want to give honor to. Yeah. So here is a billionaire who would not move and would not go and bow down to another man. So guess what? Men took night boss from wherever and came to the man's house to give him a title. And I was like, oh, whoa, really? He's like, yeah, the man says he's not moving and they have anything for him, they should bring it to him. So his fellow man entered boss from God knows where, came to Lagos, you know, and gave another man like themselves honor, the one who would not bow. So here it is, that your culture is flexible, actually very flexible. And if the indices is money, you can practically... You can change the whole book, like you change it. So then it means that the structure of your culture, it's not necessarily solid. It's not truth. It's a variable. It's not truth. It's not a constant. It can change. And no, I don't want you to think that because you don't have money, you don't have a capacity to change things. Unfortunately, society has told you there's actually a record about if you don't have money, hide your face. Well, the problem with that is that you honor fools over truth, over men who have character and truth. You honor idiots just because they have money. You actually worship them. These are the men that you hold in esteem, men who are who should not compare to you. But you sold your own bet, right? You were like, yeah, I don't have money, so let the guy who has money call the shots. Well, yeah, to some degree, but to some level, you don't let that happen. You don't let that happen. And maybe it's because you let it happen to you. I mean, we spoke about a Nigerian who, as an Igbo man in this Lagos, he would have told a woman to go and sit in the kitchen. Your place is in the kitchen. And then we changed the variable, and he is somewhere in Europe washing plates, washing the toilet, going to the market, the supermarket, coming back to cook. And the day he didn't do it, the woman tells him, get up and get out. And legit, without sentiment, she threw him out into the streets like a destitute. Just flung him out there. So it's a variable. So what if that was not his thinking? What if we didn't have a mentality like that? Would things be different? Well, there are many angles to this. There are many aspects under this idea of build on truth, build on something solid, rather than be given an honor. Be a man who's worthy of honor. And even if I don't give it to you, like there is something that even darkness couldn't shroud, that your conscience bears you witness that you're good enough for this. And even if you never get it, that you're good. That, just that. Because many, your honor, the honor that you bestow is, what is it worth? Nothing. But it's because you try to fill the void that you really want it. Really, if you had no void, you wouldn't. There are many things you wouldn't want. So really, the things that you want is you with an attempt to fill a void. Have you seen poor people who are happy? Yeah, something like that. All right. I think we just need to think about it. We want a better world, but there's no magic that can give us that. You want a better life? Well, there's no magic that will bring about that. Every man carries within him the possibility of what his tomorrow can be. And that vision is in men, and men will bring it forth. Stop praying. Stop. Your joke. Stop. Men carry that vision. Men, like men, women, will bring it forth. That night vigil, pointless. Stop it. Well, I'm not saying don't go for a vigil. I'm just saying, well, if you are the problem, what are you praying about? Fix yourself. Off on a break. We'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
This is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce. Right here on the show, you'll enjoy the unvanished truth from a people of a rising continent. On Mondays, radioactive. Tuesdays, open thought. Wednesdays, worthy of note. On Thursdays, the Lords of Logic. And on Fridays, oh, what a week.
Wow.
I invite you to the world on the sunny side. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
My name is Joyce.
No, I couldn't possibly. D flat major.
Uncle Gutenberg was a bookworm, and he lived on Charing Cross. The memory of his volumes brings a smile. He would read me lots of stories when he wasn't on the source. Now I'd like to share the wisdom of my favorite bibliophile. He said,
cover is not the work, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Chapter titles are like signs, and if you read between the lines, you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Mary Poppins, could you give us an example?
Certainly. Nellie Rubina was made of wood, but what could not be seen was though her trunk-up's top was barren, well, her roots were lush and green. So in spring, when Mr. Hickory saw her blossoms blooming there, he took root despite her bark, and now there's seedlings everywhere.
Which proves a cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook.
The titles are like signs,
and if you read between the lines,
you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Shall we do the one about the wealthy widow?
Oh, by all means.
Always loved that one.
Well, go on then.
Lady Hyacinth McCaw brought all her treasures to a reef,
where she only wore a smile,
plus two feathers and a leaf.
So no one tried to rob her, cause she barely wore a stitch.
But when you're in your birthday suit,
there ain't much there to show you're rich.
Oh, the cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look, cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Ta-roo-ra-lee, ta-roo-ra-la, ta-roo-ra-lee, ta-ra-ta-ta.
You'll find your first impression was mistook.
Ya-da-da-da, for
a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book. Give us the one about the dirty rascal, why don't you?
Isn't that one a bit long?
Well, the quicker you're into it, the quicker you're out of it.
Once upon a time in a nursery rhyme, there was a castle with a king hiding in a wing, because he never went to school to learn a single thing. He had scepters and swords and a parliament of lords, but on the inside he was sad, egad, because he never had a wisdom for numbers, a wisdom for words, though his crown was quite immense, his brain was smaller than a bird's. So the queen of the nation made a royal proclamation to the missus and the messes, the moral lessons, bring me all the land's professors. Then she went to the hairdressers, and they came from the east, and they came from the south, from each college they put knowledge from their brains into his mouth. But the king could learn, so each professor met their fate, for the queen had their heads removed and placed upon the gate. And on that date, I state their wives all got a note, their mate was now the late great. But then suddenly one day a stranger started in to sing. He said, I'm the dirty rascal and I'm here to teach the king. And the queen clutched her jewels, for she hated royal fools. But this fool had some rules they really ought to teach in schools. Like, you'll be a happy king if you enjoy the things you've got. You should never try to be the kind of person that you're not. So they sang and they laughed, for the king had found a friend. And they ran onto a rainbow for the story's perfect end. So the moral is, you mustn't let the outside be the guide, for it's not so cut and dried. Well, unless it's Dr. Jekyll, then you better hide. Petrified! No, the truth can't be denied, as I now have testified. All that really counts in Natos is the special stuff inside.
To what we've said.
And open a book tonight in bed.
So one more time before we get the hook.
Sing it out strong.
A cover is on.
Please take our advice.
A cover is on.
Well, you'll pay the price.
A cover is on.
When the cover is on.
Yeah. 99.3 Nigeria Info. I love the story that they told about a king who had swords and a kingsman, but his brain was as small as that of a bird. Yeah. And then they called all the wise men in the village, but then something happened. The wise men couldn't help the situation and they were all beheaded. Then a fool came because the fool had wisdom they should teach in schools, and the fool told the king, stop seeking for what you don't have. You'd be a better king if you enjoyed the things that you had. Yeah. What a story. 99.3 Nigeria Info. So you want to think about that while we're segueing to the cause of the day. Why does the Nigerian society discriminate against single people? Well, that was because on Monday, I did share with you a situation where a young Nigerian man paid for an apartment, occupied it for about 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks he had furnished it, done some little renovations, and asked to move out because he wasn't married. Welcome, we're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce. If you have just tuned in, I'm more than glad to have you here. So that, I think that's something we should revisit. And also on Tuesday, we did go into why do mothers hate their children? And given that this is a Friday's edition of radio where we recap the week, I'm lumping two topics together for a start. So why is there some kind of discrimination against single people in Nigeria? That's one. And then the other topic we're considering is why do mothers hate their children? 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 on 99.3 Nigeria Info's Oh What a Week.
Oh, what a week. This is the Sunny Side with Joyce.
Welcome then. Radio is here. My name is Joyce. I'm glad to have you. When you call in, please turn off the volume of your radio set. Good afternoon.
Hello, Joy. Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
Yes, this is Colin from Odogbole, Ogun State.
I'm happy to have you here. Good. What topic would you like to speak on?
What do you say?
What topic would you love to speak on?
Okay, the single person Nigeria.
Yeah, why is that discrimination against Nigerian singles? Or
I don't know. That thing has become so... In my village, you know what happened, If a lady happened to be pregnant in his father's house, it was the old man, oldest man in the village that would come and marry him. Once he hear that she's pregnant, the next day, the man will come. No matter where they are, information will go around. They will seek the man, the lady, and they automatically we must marry her.
Why?
Because those are the important people that cannot pregnant women. That's what they do in my village.
Really?
And if the girl is not refused to marry that man, it's a big problem. He cannot enter that village again.
What village is that?
I think in our house with our local government. That is what they are doing there.
Up till now?
Up till now, they are doing it. Tomorrow, they are doing it. I'm telling you. So, a lady should not try to even talk I'm pregnant. He said, let you run away from the village. If not, they will give in to one stupid man that cannot take care of her and the child.
Yeah, but have you wondered why that is happening? Is it because there's no value for the girl child, or there's no value, there's no regard for females? Is that what that is?
That is, they will start calling her name. That is, harlot, this, that. Okay. And the girl with the position, it can even die without being anything being done to her. Nobody will even feed herself.
Oh. So
when I see all this thing happening, it pains me a lot.
Okay.
So what is wrong there?
Well, we're trying to make sense of it, and it's people who are going to change it. Well, thank you very, very much.
They are not going to hear, my sister. They are not going to hear because they have been there for years.
Wow.
The existence of that village has been there. And nobody is even talking about it. Nobody is using it as a
So wait. If a man impregnates a woman and the man doesn't want the child, say the man is like, no, I don't want the baby, and the man leaves the woman alone, then the village will go and bring one old man to marry the girl.
I'm telling you. And that old man will not be a one that has child. He will be the one that can't pregnant women. That's the important people. Those are the two that will rush come and marry because of that child. Because once you pay a dowry, they have become your child. That's what they do.
Thank you. I don't know what I mean. That's thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. A number of topics we're considering right now. Why mothers hate their children. And, of course, the discrimination against youths. And that's a story we just heard on the Sunny Side. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon, Joy.
Welcome. We're happy to have you.
Okay. Great.
What's your name?
My name is Issa. I'm calling from Surulere.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you very much. On the two topics you're having a recap on.
Yeah.
First, I mean, it's actually ridiculous to say you're not going to give accommodation to a single individual or otherwise. I find it very laughable, because I would think that perhaps what's driving that idea is the age-long practice of a young person starts working, you need to live with a relative, a family member, or otherwise before you get your act together. But that's no longer in practice again. You now find instances where people move from places. For example, I grew up far up in the north. When I got employed, I came to Lagos. And I had to start off. If I didn't have a family or friends that I could live off with, it means I had to get myself a place. So will you deny me accommodation because of that? I won't take away from the fact that there are some people who are maybe not so straightforward in what they do, but because of those people, you isolate those ones. You can't take a general position on the basis of what a few do and then say that's what you're going to do. That's totally unacceptable. And I think anybody who's promoting that is definitely not in tune with what's happening today. So if I go to the United States, for example, and I'm going to leave, so am I going to live with a family member? Because there, even if I have family members, nobody is willing to accommodate me because it's a society where everybody takes responsibility for himself. So why would you deny me accommodation?
So, no, this is not even a problem in the U.S. This is actually a situation here in Nigeria where a young man...
I'm only giving an example.
Okay.
To the U.S., for example.
Well, fortunately, the U.S., they don't think like that. I think there's something about our thinking and the progression of our thinking. It would appear that some people are still of the mentality that young people are just nothing but trouble.
It's just ridiculous to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And on the other topic, on the second topic, that was a very painful one. In fact, at the point where you started crying or otherwise, because I was watching on YouTube, I had to tune off. In fact, my wife said she didn't even, at first, she thought the topic was not something worthy of discussing. Why should someone hate a child or parents hate the, until people started calling in. And for me, it was an emotional high point. I didn't find it so, it wasn't so much hard for me to take, because growing up, I had a friend that was my neighbor whom the mother never liked. And to date, nobody knew why the mother never liked him. And as God will have it, he is the breadwinner of the family today. He caters to the parents, the mother, and every time I try to call him, I tell him to forget about what had happened in the past. The past should be in the past.
Did you tell your wife that story? Does she know that story? Because she doesn't quite appear that it's possible that some mothers don't like their children.
No, sure. In fact, I brought the story up. I had told her in the past, but I mean, it didn't quite resonate with her when the topic started. But by the time people started calling in, and I also then brought up that example, she could relate with it. Even her, she couldn't believe why a parent. But for me, my conclusion was that I think some of those things happen because of postpartum depression.
Okay.
Some, I think, not all, but a whole lot of others, because from the examples you then get, some of those bitterness results from some incidences that would have happened in the past that just can't let go of, and they hold on to it. But I mean, it's painful. It really exists.
True.
I think what we'll try to do is, if you cannot, if there's nothing you can do about it, I would advise that such a person just walks away. But if there's something you can do about it, make sacrifices and try and reconcile positions, because beyond everything, the person who's faced with that bitterness, the parent or the child, if one of the parties should just let go of and try. It's not something that is easy, but try to just reconcile, because having a peaceful ending goes a long way, much more than having bitter experience that one will live it, because a whole lot of the times, what the party that survives the other party will forever continue to blame himself or hold that bitterness against themselves or other parties. Like a parent, a sibling that called him to say, even generationally, so her and her sisters don't talk, the children also, they don't talk.
Oh, yeah.
You continue that bitterness.
Yeah,
totally unacceptable.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much for calling the Sunny Side. We're 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. We're happy to have you. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Michael.
Welcome, Michael. Thank you very much for calling. Mike, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just tuned in not quite long. I listened to the guy who talked about a lady girl being pregnant and offered to infertile, or how do they put it now? I think there are some of these things that happen in the village, and actually they are put in place to make some correction, but people now misuse them. For instance, the one he mentioned, I think the purpose for that is just to ensure that ladies who are not married don't just go about getting themselves impregnated. Because the way he put it, okay, if nobody claims the responsibility, then they give you to a man who is impotent, and then the man marries you because the man does not have any child.
Mm.
If you look at it from a clear view, I don't think there's any bad, anything wrong in that.
You don't think there's anything bad with that?
If nobody takes responsibility, then what happens to the lady who is pregnant? Nobody takes responsibility. Are they going to leave her to die because she's pregnant?
But the man whom they're handing her over to, what use is he to her?
But the man who married her, that's the essence. In some cases, the lady may not like it. But at least most of them will be happy to have a man who will not claim the child and take care of the child. Is it better to now allow the lady to die in pregnancy?
But that's not your top crop men in society. That's not like the best men, according to what said.
I know everybody, for instance, everybody may not like it. Fine, I can take care of myself. Don't force it on me. Allow her go. But for those who can, who accept it, I don't think there's anything bad. It's actually a leeway out of suffering, because who will take care of the baby? Who will take care of the pregnancy?
These men whom they give this women to, are these men well off? Can they take care of themselves, you know, and then add another woman and child to the equation? Are these men whom your society bring forward when they're calling for the men in the village to come out? So basically what you're doing is a woman makes a mistake, and then you throw her into the recesses of your cultural history because of one mistake.
this is not throwing anybody into a cultural history. It's an option you take.
Okay.
If you want it, you take it. If you don't want it. It's just that in some situation, people overblow it, make it look as if it's a crime. It's an option.
Okay.
Situation where
but does the woman have an option? Are you really sure the woman has an option?
Of course. From the East myself. I'm from the East. They have options. If you don't want it, you're allowed to stay. But if you want, that is the option. People who are impotent, who could not bear children, they give it to them. They marry you. And most of the time, they take very good care of you because they don't have wife, because they don't have they could not impregnate anybody. Now you already have a baby in you and they're happy to take you over. They take care of you and they take care of you.
Okay, so I wanted to understand whether they take care of the woman, and you have just answered that.
Oh, my God. You can imagine a man who could not impregnate a woman getting one with pregnancy. Without telling you, what do you expect?
No, you can't say that. It's not everybody who you call your friend is a good person to you.
I know that all human beings are not different.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, except the man is a good person. We cannot guarantee that he'll take care of her.
You do know that even people who made themselves as young boy and young girl get married, things at times does not work out the way they want it.
Exactly.
So you can't say that too. Yes, so it's not again or there. Yes. People who've met in the university, they've been friends for 5 years, they get married. At the end of the day, it doesn't work. You see the same thing everywhere.
Okay. All right.
If you are an old man who'd never have a wife, it's also the same thing. You could get one who is very caring, could get one who is just interested in the baby and not you.
All right. Do you think that has served society well?
Well, it depends from the angle that we are seeing it from, because one, it makes ladies, it deter them from just going into sexual relationship when they are not sure. So you need to be very careful. Will this guy take responsibility? Or you know who you are sleeping with? Don't just sleep about and then come with a baby that everybody will deny, because you sleep with like 5 boys at the same time. So you caution yourself, knowing fully well you don't want this kind of thing to happen to you.
All right.
And I do know
Thank
that parents... Better ring it in the ear of their children. Be careful.
Yourself. Okay. Thank you. Hold on a second. Is there anything said to the men who impregnate these women?
Is there anything what?
Anything said to the men who impregnate the women? Like, are they sought after? Are they charged with a responsibility culturally now?
Yeah, do you know that this happens to ladies who are wayward? It doesn't happen to
the distant ones
or your sister.
All right.
Yes, it doesn't happen because if it happened to my sister, I'm there and I will not allow it.
Okay.
Ladies who are wayward, that even their parents are tired of them.
Okay.
The lady cannot even pinpoint one guy that he's responsible.
Okay. Okay.
That's the problem.
All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. It's kind of clear now. Thank you very, very much for calling. I do appreciate the sunny side. Good afternoon to you.
Oh, wow.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
We're happy to have you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Jude.
Your name? Speak up for me, please. What's your name?
My name is Jude.
Oh, Jude, I'm happy to have you here. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, same here. Your program is so enlightening, entertaining. In fact, fun.
Hello?
And yes. And, you know, we've been begging you to speak pidgin. You don't want to speak pidgin. Pidgin will sound very good in your mouth, though.
Well, if you're not paying me for that, I don't see why I should go out of myself to become something you want me to be.
But, honestly, I'm laughing at the last caller. Honestly, the
thought
of the last caller. I don't understand why he says that ladies who are wayward are the ones who fall into that trap, and then by so doing, then giving them to an old man to marry, it is the right thing to do. I don't get it. Are ladies objects? Are they objects?
So he's saying that these are women who themselves have no option, and so they're trying to help them.
Why is he speaking for them that they don't have option? If someone impregnates a lady and the lady decides, I'm no longer interested in the baby, they should allow the girl to take care of the child by herself. So should you now give it to, maybe allow culture to marry her to one old man somewhere against her wish?
Well, I think he also said that that's an option, that you can choose that or you can choose to be married. Like, you can either choose to be married or choose not to be married. I don't know whether the women actually have an option, though.
For me, I don't see that as an option, honestly speaking. I don't see that as an option.
Okay.
You don't decide for the woman in a society. You don't decide for them. They are so equal as we are, and the men. What of the one who pregnates the girl?
Yeah, okay.
The guy, too.
Okay, well, so that's something that would appear to be untraceable at this moment, because the only reason the lady is in that situation is because the person disappeared. So I think culture suggests that, well, this is a kind of punishment or maybe reward for the lady who has a child but has no husband. So he says that some of the men take care of the women very well.
So I think that culture should be abolished. Should, did the lady see, an erected stuff and then jump on it mistakenly and then got her pregnant?
Oh, well, yeah.
These are the culture that we're trying to abolish, and someone in this modern day, someone is calling somewhere to defend it. I don't think it's right.
All right.
Please, Joy, try and speak Pidgin. Now, let's see how it sounds in your tongue.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the Sunny Side. We're recapping the week. We're looking at, say, a kind of judgment or bias against young people held by some older people. That's one. And then why mothers hate their children. My guess is that you didn't have an opportunity to call when we had this conversation on Tuesday. Here today we have the opportunity of day and time. And here you would have an opportunity to talk about that situation where as a mother you hate your child, or what might have led you as a child to understand why your mother hates you. On the Sunny Side, my name is Joyce. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. .3 Nigeria Info. Oh, what a week. My name is Joyce. It's 29 minutes past 1 p.m. How are you? We're glad to have you here. We're recapping the week, and you certainly missed out on an opportunity to call in and share with us something that you needed to say, had to say, or pretty much contribute to the show. For now, we're considering two very important topics. One would be why mothers hate their children. The other, what is this thing in the air that is about some people having a bias against young Nigerians? And that is really something that has been the situation, and it has played out not just necessarily in, you know, young people trying to take up accommodation or take up rent somewhere. You also hear it sometimes in maybe you're having an encounter with a police officer, and you hear the way they talk to young people, and some of them tend to suggest that there's something wrong with you just being young and then being Nigerian, and you want to ask, why is that even? I mean, I don't think it's as existential. I just don't know why it's there. Like, why is that even happening? I mean, this is our now. If that is a pattern, what then can anyone think of the future? 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Welcome to the show. And that number, the last one, is for ladies alone. My name is Joyce. It's a pleasure having you here. Good afternoon. Hello.
What's up?
Welcome.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is Bumi. I'm calling from Bonicam.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I have an observation which I have talked about. Please, Joyce, I want to beg you for one thing. The issue of husband and wife, man and a woman. When we have to address our society to understand the principles of marriage, we have to lecture people, both genders, not only men.
Okay.
Because when we talk about marriage is very, very sensitive.
So first of all, first of all, that's not even the topic we're having. So you're creating a diversion of some sort.
We talk about this almost every day, every time.
That's not what I'm talking about right now. So you're not in sync with what we're doing right now. I'm going to ask you to turn off your radio. Hopefully, we're going to have that conversation sometime during the day, and you would have an opportunity to call back. Now, you say marriage principles, so I'm going to hold on to that. I suppose that you believe that there are principles guarding marriage. So when you call back, I'm going to remind you of that. I'm going to ask you to explain whose principles you're operating on, and then ask you to justify the stance for your principle. And if your principle is anything to go by, maybe you can juxtapose that against the situations in marriage, the reality of marriage, and the number in divorce, and hopefully you can give me an argument in favor for what you stand for. Until then, I'm going to say thank you very much. Please listen and enjoy. Probably in another few minutes, I'm going to open up a conversation about married people. The women are calling, the men are calling. If you feel that both people need to be spoken to, well, maybe we're trying to even address the mentality around the people who make up a part of the marriage, and underscore what role a person can play, and how maybe your omission or commission can also lead to a fracture or total fall or collapse in the system. But you have spoken about principles. I'm going to ask you what you mean when you say that. The Sunny Side. Welcome to radio. My name is Joyce. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Good afternoon.
We're happy to have you here. Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Samuel. I'm calling you from Ikeja.
Thank you, Sam. So, Which topic would you like to speak on? The mothers or the discrimination by some? Well, I lost you. Hopefully you can make it back. Hello, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Good afternoon. Sorry, I lost you. 0700-993-993-993. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Jerry. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
I'm Harry. I'm calling from...
I cannot hear you. Can you please speak up for us?
I'm Harry. I'm calling from Agege.
Agege. Okay. Welcome, Henry. We're happy to have you. Please go ahead.
First time speaking with you on your show.
Oh, welcome to radio, then. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. So, for the recap for the week, first of all, let me start with the issue of why do most landlords always have this biased mind towards single people not giving them their houses to? I want to believe it because of the mindset they have towards young ones, and they kind of tend to generalize it, which is not accurate. I remember when I was actually looking for preparing for my marriage and I was looking for an accommodation, I had to send my fiancé. In fact, the accommodation, the conditions were just too much. I was like, wow.
Condition for accommodation?
I'm telling you, like, he doesn't want people from the east part, but he only wants people from the west because he's Yoruba man. He doesn't want people that attend a particular church to be attending and that attend a particular church.
Really?
I'm telling you, he gets... So
were you his church condition. Member? Did you fit into that criteria?
He was a Muslim.
Oh, but he had a church preference. He liked some churches, didn't like some.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's being all these white garments that he hopes and that he doesn't want people attending this church to be there because of the... He just gives so many reasons.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's even discrimination against white garment people, too.
He said they're always burning incense and all that and all that. There's this one I even did that was surprising to me, that he doesn't want any tenant that has small children.
Oh!
That he doesn't want them to be running up and down the compound. So, like, do you mean that when I get in and I give birth, he asked me to leave? Well, finally, at the end of the day, he gave us the accommodation after my wife pleaded the thing that I'm not that sad and everything. I didn't even know how she convinced him. Finally, we got the accommodation. But I don't know. That is just...
Do you have kids? Thing. Did you dare have kids?
I just got married last year.
So are you going to have kids now that your landlord don't want kids?
I don't know. Let's wait till that end.
Are you joking?
So that's what I want.
Wow.
And for the second topic, why do mothers hate their children? I actually sent an SMS last week, which you actually read. And my story was this. My mother gave birth to me at a tender age. And I believe I actually got to know my dad when I was 17. But my dear, it was hell with my mom. It was hell. Actually, what did she not do to me? Any small thing I do. It got to a point that she had to start calling, to be calling her brothers to come all the way from Enugu, all the way from Lagos, because then I was giving birth in River State. We're staying in Port Harcourt there. So they will have to come down to River State. Those to do what? To beat me anytime I do anything wrong. They will tell me that she's tired of me. At a point, she would, whenever I do anything, she would take me to the vigilante, local vigilante around there, tell them to beat me, and she would pay them.
Oh.
She did so many things.
Were you a rascal? You know, were you that kind of kid?
I know I was stubborn, but not that. Though I know that my environment there was the rough one, but I wasn't as bad as that. I wasn't as bad.
I mean, that's what you think. Maybe she really thought you were really that bad.
Being pregnant at first, you didn't want to keep it. It was my grandma
that forced her to keep it.
Yeah, forced her. So she felt that my pregnancy didn't allow her to really attend and live her life. And as God we have it, all the other children she started having that was not taken care of and all that. Like I said last week in the text message, that they all, in fact, right now, all of them have denied her. I'm just the only one taking care of her, teaching her in any way. But as God will have it, honestly, I don't have anything about her.
Yeah, against her. Oh, that's so good.
I never even thought of... To me, I didn't actually think about it up now. I just thought that I saw it as a way of she was training me, she was building me, she was making me...
Oh, you didn't think it was abuse? You didn't really think it was abuse?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I didn't say... I saw it as the fact that she was, it was a way for her to build me up. And I'm proud of who I am today. Yes, I'm not perfect. But when I look back to the days, sometimes it hurts me, but I just...
You're a man with a head on your shoulders.
Yeah, that,
that's honorable. Just, that's really honorable.
Just part of him.
Okay.
Then, sorry, let me also... the story of this... somebody told the story of a young girl getting pregnant.
Yeah, you have 1 minute because we need to let other people speak now.
Okay, okay. Sorry about that. I have a client that has a staff. A young girl. We see this girl. She has a baby. I don't know how come. But when I was showed her husband, I was like, wow, this man is supposed to be a grandfather to that girl.
Oh.
But she was married to her. Like,
she was married off to the man.
Yes, after the person that actually impregnated her denied it and he traveled that. And I think that was what happened. Is she was not giving to that man to marry. But Joyce, you needed to see this man.
I don't need to.
When you see that, you would think that the man is her grandfather.
Wow. In fact, how old is she? How old is she?
Looking at her, she's less than 20.
No way.
I'm telling you, she's less than 20 years. I had to leave the office so that she will not see him because she's very close to me. So I had to, so that she will not feel bad that I'm
saying
that. So I don't know why cultures are like that. It's so pathetic.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for calling. Oh, wow. The sunny side. Hello. I say a lot of wow on this show. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, guys.
We're happy to have you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Gabriel.
Welcome, Gabriel. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So let's speak on the issue of the young lady, young girls. The man from Boyntuna called about the culture of giving the young ladies to older men to marry.
Yeah, because that's also a form of discrimination, if you ask me. But there seems to be a justification for it.
I think I have similar culture in my own place, from Enugu State. A similar culture in that event too, because I could recall in those days. You see, we have a culture whereby we don't accept children born by our girls that are not married. That's been the issue. If you got pregnant as a daughter, to me, for example, that baby will not be taken except you got married to some other person. So it becomes imperative that once you got pregnant at a younger age without a married man, without a man, the tendency is that your parents will force you to go and marry any man at all.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. They can even give you a woman to marry you off. That's been our culture over time.
Okay.
I think it's dying down now.
Okay, so as a person, are you convinced that that thing serves the problem, do you think? I mean, if you had a daughter and that was a situation, would you accept, would you give her out to a man who's old enough to be her grandfather? I mean,
the culture is almost dying out.
Okay, okay.
It's no longer fashionable these days.
Okay.
I see people and I'm taking over and then taking responsibility for their kids.
Okay.
Maybe hoping that even at a later age, when you got married, they will see you and the child to the new marriage, to the new person.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this is. I'm happy to hear that, because then again, it would appear that there's no plan, there's no possibility of the female to have a dream, to have a future. So they just box her up and ship her away into something that looks like a shadow. Okay.
But it's done that,
all right. Thank you. Thank you very much for helping us out with that. We do appreciate.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. We're happy to have you here.
Hi, Josie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to radio. What's your name, lady?
My name is Esther.
Welcome, Esther.
I want to talk about the issue of a mother hitting their children.
Yeah, sure, please, Esther. Go ahead.
I don't see the reason why someone should be at the mother. You have carried that child for a good 9 months. At the end, you hit that child for no reason. I just want to give myself as an example. When I was a little girl, like between 16 years old, I got pregnant and I was about to go to school, to university. So in my mind, I was thinking that when this child born, I'm going to give this child away for adoption. So I couldn't, because when I put to bed, I saw this little girl. She was so innocent. In my heart, I couldn't able to give her up. But I have to take good care of her.
Mm.
Right now, as I'm talking to you, she's 16 years old. When I looked at her, I said, this is part of life. And I accept my fate. But I cannot able to hate her for that. I don't see the reason why a mother should hate their child for no reason. There is no reason, actually.
Okay,
there
so fortunately for you, I think we have to actually highlight the fact that you are fortunate. If you have heard the stories that we heard on Tuesday, you would realize that some people have it differently. So when you say that there is no reason, we cannot quite necessarily hold that to be true because your experience is different from the experience of somebody else or the people who called on Tuesday. So fortunately for you, your reality is different. But is it possible that mothers hate their children? Oh, absolutely, because we've heard stories.
Yeah,
we've heard stories. Unfortunately, we wish it didn't happen, but it's happening. So thank you very much, lady, for calling. I do appreciate
it. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you. Bless your heart. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 15 more minutes before we touch down 2 p.m. I have this 10-minute program that would come your way any second from now. After that, I'm going to segue into the divorce series. And then the men who had something to say, I guess you're pretty much not the only person who would have something to say about marriage and stuff like that. Then you'd have a platform to give us your conviction or your persuasion or say maybe your disagreement. We'll be right back. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name is Joyce. Don't go anywhere. We're Nigeria Info.